Just 7 days ago, as steeple bells ushered in the year 2016, multitudes from all over the world join in to sing Auld Lang Syne, the international anthem of New Year's Eve. And on January 25th, millions of people will be celebrating the 257th anniversary of the birth of Robert Burns, the man who, in 1788, wrote the words of Auld Lang Syne. So after all these years, just what is it about Robert Burns that has made him stand the test of time and become even more popular, more revered, and just as relevant today as he was over 200 years ago? Well, I suppose Burns will mean different things to different people, but the best explanation I've heard is that Burns was a man who said what we would like to have said. And today, we will often hear people quoting Burns, quite possibly without even realizing it. A few years ago, President Barack Obama could be heard saying, "We in the African American community have been at the receiving end of man's inhumanity to man." This was a paraphrase of an earlier speech made by Dr. Martin Luther King back in the 1960s. But Dr. King in turn had taken the phrase "man's inhumanity to man" from the Robert Burns poem, "Man Was Made to Mourn." And it's a quote that has been used many times since. John Steinbeck's 1937 novel, a tragedy about two displaced migrant workers during the Great Depression, was titled "Of Mice and Men," a phrase taken from the Robert Burns poem "To a Mouse," which he wrote after accidentally overturning a mousey's nest with a plough. "Wee sleekit, coor and timorous beastie, oh, what a panic's in thy breastie! Thou needna start a wa' sae hasty, be bickering brattle. I would be laith to run and chase ye wi' murdering pattle. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union and justifies that ill opinion which makes thee startle at me, thy poor earth-born companion and fellow mortal. That wee bit heap of leaves and stibble has cost thee mony a weary nibble. Now thou's turned out for all thy trouble frae house or hold, to thole the winter's sleety dribble and cran rough cauld. But mousie, thou art no thy lane, and proving foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes of mice and men gang after glay, and leave us nought but grief and pain for promised joy. Still, thou art blessed compared with me, the present only toucheth thee, but och, a backward cast my e'en prospects drear, and forward, though I canna see, I guess and fear." Now, I'm sure many of you here know that Burns was born in Ayrshire and that he eked out a living, first as a farmer and then as an exciseman. You probably know of his reputation with the lassies. You no doubt will have heard of his utter disdain for authority, snobbery, pomposity and hypocrisy. But in some strange way, you may also have a rather uncanny sense of feeling that somehow Burns knew you, that over time the spiritual empathy that flowed from his words seeped down through your emotions to lodge deep in the innermost depths of your soul, to resurface and resonate with you as you pass the many milestones on the journey of life. If so, do you mind of the time when you first looked into the eyes of a wee newborn baby? Surely these words by Robert Burns would have been with you then. "Bonny wee thing, canny wee thing, lovely wee thing wert thou mine, I would wear thee in my bosom, lest my jewel I should tyne. Wistfully I look and languish in that bonny face of thine, and my heart it stounds wi' anguish, lest my wee thing be na mine. Wit and grace and love and beauty in a constellation shine. To adore thee is my duty, goddess with a soul of mine." And for those of you who were born in Scotland, Those of you who made that monumental decision to pull up roots and leave your friends and family behind to start a new life here in Canada, Burns was with you as well, just as he was with our early pioneers when they left their native shores. My heart's in the highlands, my heart is not here. My heart's in the highlands, a-chasing the deer, a-chasing the wild deer and following the roe. For my heart's in the highlands wherever I go. Farewell to the highlands, farewell to the north, the birthplace of valour, the country of worth. Wherever I wander, wherever I rove, the hills of the highlands forever I love. Farewell to the mountains high covered with snow. Farewell to the straths and green valleys below. Farewell to the forests and wild hanging woods. Farewell to the torrents and loud pouring floods. My heart's in the highlands. My heart is not here. My heart is in the highland, a-chasing the deer, a-chasing the wild deer and following the roe. My heart's in the highlands, wherever I go. And for those of you who still hold all Scotland near and dear to your hearts, Burns is with you to set your sense of patriotism on fire with these immortal words. Scots, wha Hawie Wallace bled, Scots, whom Bruce has aft times led, welcome to your gory bed or to victory. Now is the day and now is the hour, see the front of battle lower, see approach proud Edward's power, chains and slavery. What will be a traitor knave? What can fill a coward's grave? What say base as be a slave? Let him turn and flee. Lay the proud usurpers low. Tyrants fall on every foe. Liberty's in every blow. Let us do or die. Is there by any chance anyone here who has done or said something the later regretted? Aye, I thought so, haven't we all? Well, Burns was with us then too. A winsome power the gift he gives, to see yourselves as others see us, it would frame many a blundered freer's and foolish notion. As you know, to be parted from a loved one is one of the hardest things to bear. It is indeed a test of true love and devotion. And Burns was no stranger to the emotion stirred up by separation, whatever the cause. Go fetch to me a pint of wine, and fill it in a silver tassie, that I may drink before I go, a service to my bonny lassie. The boat rocks at the pier o' Leith, fu' loud the wind blaws frae the ferry. The ship rides by the Berwick Law, and I maun leave my bonny Mary. The trumpet sounds, the banners fly, the glittering spears are ranked ready, the shouts of war are heard afar, the battle closes deep and bloody. But it's no the roar of sea or shore would make me languor wish to tarry. Now shouts of war that's heard afar, it's leaving thee, my bonny Mary. And so it is through his words that we are given a key to understanding the life of Burns. For nobody can provide an insight into Burns better than Burns himself. I think Burns was a man who lived in his imagination. Can you imagine what must have been going through a mind like his, driven into boredom by the repetitive tedium of work in the farm, at the mercy of wind, weather, and the ceaseless demands of the seasons? In my mind's eye, I see him after a hard day's work, rushing home to grab pen and paper to jot down the words that have been swirling around in his head all throughout the day. And what epic words these are. A cup of kindness from Auld Lang Syne. Nursing her wrath to keep it warm. From Tam O'Shanter. Some are full of love divine. Some are full of brandy. From the Holy Fair. Or from the Cotter Saturday Night. From scenes like these, all Scotia's grandeur springs, that makes the loved at home revered abroad. Princes and lords are but the breath of kings, and honest man's the noblest work of God. Burns was a man who used the old Scottish vernacular, the language of the common people. It has been said that his poetry is the only example in history of a language made classic by the genius of a single man. But sometimes we come across some words of Burns that we just can't make any sense of. His poem, Whistle o' the Lave Oot, is a good example of this. Whistle o' the Lave Oot literally means whistle over the rest of it, but it's an obsolete and archaic term, and nowadays we would replace it with something like c'est la vie or tough, get over it. Here's the poem. It's one that Burns wrote to sympathise with a married friend, one whose days of youthful infatuation had long since passed away, along with any notion he might have had of being the boss in his own house. First, when Maggie was my care, heaven the thought was in her air, knew we're married, spear nae mare, whistle o' the lave oot. Meg was meek, and Meg was mild, sweet and harmless as a child, wiser men than me's beguiled, so whistle o' the lave oot. Who I wish were maggot's meat, dished up in her winding sheet. I could write, but Meg maun see it, so whistle o'er the lave o't. But what else did Burns have to say? What other words of his have touched our hearts and tugged at our emotions? Burns was a close observer of human nature, a man who used humour and pathos to make us alternate between being all kind of smiley round the lips and teary round the lashes. Burns, of course, was the consummate romantic, the great lover, and there are few among us untouched by these immortal lines. My love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. My love is like a melody that's sweetly played in tune. But the course of love does not always run smooth, as expressed by Burns in these lines, inspired by separation from a loved one. A fond kiss, and then we sever. A farewell, alas, forever. Had we never loved so kindly, had we never loved so blindly, never met or never parted, we would ne'er be broken-hearted. Burns, of course, experienced and wrote about the excitement, passion and intensity of youthful love, all too often rather short-lived. But he also witnessed and wrote about a much more enduring type of love, that unfailing, tender, loving kindness shared by couples throughout the whole of their life, as he expressed so well in this poem. John Anderson, my jo, John, when we were first acquent, your locks were like the raven, your bonny brow was brent. But now your brow is bell, John, your locks are like the snow. But blessings on your frosty pow, John Anderson, my jo. John Anderson, my jo, John, we climbed the hill together, and mony a canty day, John, we had with yin another. Now we maun totter doon, John, and hand in hand we'll go, and sleep together at the foot, John Anderson, my jo. And while on this topic, here is one of his poems that I hold especially near and dear to my heart. O all the earths, the wind doth blow, I dearly love the west, for there the bonny lassie lives, the lassie I love best. There wild woods grow, and rivers row, and mony a hill between, but day and night my fancy's flight is ever wi' my Jean. I see her in the dewy flowers, I see her sweet and fair. I hear her in the tuneful birds, I hear her charm the air. There's no a bonny flower that springs by fountain, shaw or green. There's no a bonny bird that sings but minds me o' my Jean. Burns lived in Scotland in the 1700s, when human existence was a hard and precarious affair, and the loss of loved ones a harsh fact of life. Who has not been moved by the poignancy of these lines? Ye banks and braes of bonny Doon, how can ye bloom sae fresh and fair? How can ye chant, ye little birds, an icy, weary, fu' of care? Ye break my heart, thou warbling bird, that wantons through the flowering thorn, that minds me o' departed joys, departed, never to return. Burns lived at a time of monumental change. Revolution was in the air in both the American colonies and in France. Burns's poem, Is There for Honest Poverty, captures the essence of this period and has become famous for its expression of egalitarian ideas of society. It was sung at the opening of the new Scottish Parliament in May 1999 and contains these famous lines. Then let us pray that come it may, as come it will for a' that, that sense and worth o' a' the earth shall bear the gree in a' that. For a' that and a' that, it's coming yet for a' that, that man to man the world ever shall brothers be for a' that. Liberty, equality and fraternity were indeed noble objectives, but Burns went one step further when he wrote, while Europe's eye is fixed on mighty things, the fate of empires and the fall of kings, while quacks of state must each produce his plan, and even children lisp the rights of man. Amid this mighty fuss, just let me mention, the rights of women should merit our attention. So, 257 years after his birth, the legacy of Burns lives on, just as it did on the 100th anniversary of his birth, when, speaking of his memory, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, every name in old Scotland keeps his fame bright. The memory of Burns, every man, woman and child carry snatches of his songs which they know by heart. The wind whispers them, the birds whistle them, the corn, barley and bulrushes rustle them. Nay, the music boxes at Geneva are framed in tooth to play them, the hand organs of all the great cities repeat them, and the chimes of bells ring them in the spires. So, ladies and gentlemen, let us now raise our glasses and our toast to Robert Burns. His life was short, but his words live on. They have become the property and solace of this wonderful world of ours. To Robert Burns.